Kerry Murphy on the final lap with David Ruderman. First of all, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. trying not to think about it too much. There's a certain point when birthdays no longer become fun, and I'm certainly at that point.
I hear you. I'm the same age. I'll turn 41 in April, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's a lot better than the option. I guess, you know, having birthdays is certainly a lot better than not having them, so that's the way I gotta look at it.
All right, officially from us, happy birthday. Hey, the season, I guess, officially kicks off now after the first season that we like to call Daytona. So here at Phoenix, you got to be pretty excited to get, I guess, in the groove of things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Daytona is certainly it's a unique venue in the way the racetrack is and the way the events run and everything that leads up to it. But here to Phoenix, this is more along the lines of the structure that we're used to. So my first opportunity to drive for Tommy Baldwin and a competitive deal. We've done one test this year, so that's about all we've got as far as experience with working one another. So this will be certainly a situation where we need to make sure things gel quickly, and because we don't have a lot of time to mess around.
You've got a unique situation. Fans may not realize you're going to be hopping between two cars. Can you tell them about that?
Well, I mean, it's as it stands right now, I'm still working on some things to do with BK Racing, which is the team that I drove for at Daytona. And obviously, I'm going to run 26 races over here. And then Danica Patrick is going to run nine races now that I'm not going to run. And we'll be basically kind of sharing the car, the 10 car. And then what I'm trying to do is work on a situation where when I'm not in the car and Danica's racing, I'll be driving the 93 BK racing car. But that's just stuff we talked about. That's not anything that's even remotely solid. Travis Quapel's going to be in the car the majority of the time, and maybe a situation where they don't want to mess up, you know, we don't need to mess up his situation either. So it may or may not happen, but it's just something we have talked about.
And that team kind of came out of nowhere, I guess, getting some of the resources from Red Bull last year.
Yeah, they did. They came in and they bought the resources, some of the resources, not all of them, but they bought a large majority of the cars and the haulers and the things that you needed to go racing with. So they've done a lot in a short amount of time, and they know they've got work to do, but got a really good group of guys over there, and they seem to be really, really committed. They've made the financial commitment already. Now it's just a lot more. There's a lot more to go along with it, and they're doing that as well.
And what about the confidence that must be instilled here at Tommy Baldwin Racing, a little collaboration with Tony Stewart and getting Danica over here and helping with both sides of the coin? It's got to be pretty cool.
It is. I mean, we'll see how much help that is trickle down. I think a lot of people are adding a lot more to that than it really is. You know, it's a great situation because now Tommy doesn't have to go try to sell those 10 races because, you know, right now we just don't have a sponsorship to run a lot of these races, and you know, we're going to run them, but we need the sponsorship to do it. So that enabled us to the 10 car to run the full year, you know, point wise, but it enabled Tommy to not have to go sell those other 10 races because, you know, GoDaddy would be on a car and Danica will be in there. But so that's where it's a big help. But I think there's some technical stuff we're working on, but we'll see how much of that stuff trickles down.
Found out recently monster ratings for Daytona 500 and as well as the Nationwide Series, and big crowds showing up even on a Monday/Tuesday morning. What's the excitement about this season? It seems like there's a certain buzz in the air for this season of NASCAR.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the Daytona 500 being run on Monday evening in primetime probably was had a lot to do with that. Maybe, who knows, maybe that would be something they would look at in the future because obviously I think the race went obviously a little later than most people would have liked. I think it was in that situation, it was a good thing. It was a good situation for Tommy Baldwin Racing because Dave Blaney was leading at that mark, and then Tommy's other car and had a shot to win the 500. So again, you know, being on prime time and you know, having a lot of people sitting there having an opportunity to watch, maybe it's something the networks want to look at for the future because, you know, hey, more exposure for our sport is never a bad thing.
I'm not sure what all the buzz is about in terms of Brad Kay tweeting on the backstretch on the red flag situation, but phones in the cars, it seems to be a topic for some reason.
Yeah, who cares? You know, really, I mean, if that's all, I mean, you know, it's not like he's running down the back straightaway, you know, texting or sending tweets to someone. You know, it's a red flag. You know, everybody's just standing around doing nothing. Yeah, I don't see a problem with it, but, you know, there's always got to be something to talk about, and evidently this week that's it.
Well, you know, the good news is it hit mainstream media. It was all over the tech sites. It was all over CNN, USA Today. So, you know, a good way to put NASCAR on the map, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always there's certain ways you can get put on a map, and they're not always good. You know, sometimes if something bad happens, it's not a good fit. But with that being said, all that stuff that led to that and got people talking and interested, and I think Keselowski got a lot more followers as well as far on Twitter. So I guess it's a cool situation, kind of unexpected. You never will see that coming, but you never can tell what will happen when a red flag comes out.
What's a typical race day ritual for you? Do you put your fire suit on, have a specific meal, or you just go out there every week and it's different?
I don't do a whole lot. There's no ritual. I mean, if my stomach will allow me to eat, I'll eat a little something plain, like a plain piece of chicken or something like that. But most of the time, I'm pretty amped up on race day, and I don't eat much of anything. You know, eat a little bit through the course of the day. But again, my stomach kind of dictates a lot of that, and a lot of times it's not happy. Depends on how nervous I am.
I kind of probably know the answer to this already, but a driver that growing up you kind of looked up to, I think it's probably your dad, so maybe someone else.
Yeah, definitely Buzzy Rudiman is the guy I looked up to the most. There's guys that I followed, and, you know, a lot of them were non-NASCAR type guys, but you know, guys like Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, Harry Gantt, Bobby Labonte. I always followed those guys and enjoyed watching them, and were fans of them as well. I think, you know, if you're a race car driver, you're a fan of another race car driver, and some of them, maybe not even in the same venue that you're racing, but for instance, teammate Dave Blaney, watched him race sprint cars for a lot of years, and too was a fan of his, is still a fan of his. So it's unique, and how you can, you know, sometimes, you know, have the opportunity to race against guys that were your heroes and you never thought you'd have a chance to race against.
So now that you are here racing against them, what's it like, you know, interacting with them, racing with them on the track, and even talking with them?
It's always cool. I mean, you know, it's certainly different. Everybody has their own personalities and their own driving styles, and sometimes they're a little bit different than what you anticipated them being. But with that being said, it's always rewarding and fun to be able to go out there and race against guys who you've watched for a lot of years.
After Phoenix, everybody heads to Las Vegas, and a little bit different track. This is a 1 mile. That's a 1.5 mile. They increased the banking. What are your thoughts over there?
Like Vegas a lot. 1.5 racetracks are tracks that I enjoy racing a lot. And I mean, Phoenix is a great racetrack too. But looking forward to getting to Vegas. And I mean, you know, I like the racetrack. Not a big Vegas guy, but do like the racetrack a lot. So.
And then beyond that, switches gears dramatically to Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, Bristol's going to be definitely a different kind of racing, and Bristol's a racetrack that I really like a lot and enjoy the aspect of, you know, Bristol. There's only one racetrack like Bristol. There's only one Daytona, and there's some other racetracks that are similar, you know, to the 1.5 mile, looks similar to another 1.5 mile, vice versa. But when you go to Bristol, there's no place like it, really. I mean, you know, there's Salem and Winchester, places like that, and that are high bank racetracks that are similar, that they run, you know, sprint cars and things like that in that nature. But Bristol's is one of a kind.
All right, David Rudiman, happy birthday. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for being on the final lap.
All right, thanks. No problem.